Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion today. We're going to be talking about why Thanksgiving. Why should we be thankful? I was talking with my bride this morning about this subject, and I said, if nothing else, America can be thankful that Nancy Pelosi is retiring. At least she's stepping down from anything that they call leadership. So if nothing else, we can say, thank you, Lord, that, who was it this morning that said, ding dong, the witch is dead or something like that?
Amen.
I am thankful that we can say that, but there's a whole lot more to Thanksgiving than just saying thankful about some political issue or some political socialist Marxist that's stepping down from leadership. We're going to talk about why Thanksgiving today, and we invite your dialogue and discussion on the subject. Why are you thankful? Love to hear from you. Let me remind you, shortly after the monologue, you're invited to pick up the telephone and call 831-0917, 831-0917. But love to hear from you this Thanksgiving as to why you're thankful, what you're thankful for, and what is Thanksgiving to you. Let me just simply say, Thanksgiving is more than eating too much turkey. Thanksgiving is more than looking forward to Black Friday after Thanksgiving Day for the specials. Thanksgiving is far more than that. But yet, in so many homes and families, it redounds to nothing more than being off from work, having too much food to eat, and looking forward to going into Walmart's at daybreak and trampling others to get to that TV that's half price. I say that's not Thanksgiving. And yet we find that being the growing merchandising philosophy mindset each and every year when we talk about Thanksgiving. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book, speaking to his disciples. The Lord Jesus in John 8:31 and 32 said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, the Lord Jesus says, I am truth. And further in the declaratory statement, the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, according to Psalms 117 and verse 2, the truth of the Lord endures forever. And may I suggest to you the truth book, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And truth, I believe, is needed today more than any other element, any other single principle, any other single issue, I believe, would be truth. It was the secularist George Orwell back a number of years ago that made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's absolutely factual today. It was Jim DeMint, former U.S. Senator, Jim DeMint, that made this statement. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our churches. And that's a fitting statement, because just recently, in the information that was found in a national poll in relationship to truth, this article says, most younger Americans say there is no absolute truth. Its results pushed America's past the tipping point, this writer says, because 55% of Americans 18 to 29 years of age think that each person can determine his own version of truth. And that seems to be the mindset that promulgates all of thinking in society today, and that permeates our thoughts and philosophies, and it continues to push forward, and greater numbers are feeling that way today. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge. That's my concern. That's my passion each and every day as we face the issues on this broadcast. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including the Honda generators, with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. Tools for Time is located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, a gigantic flagpole 165 feet in there, Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, you can find the home of Tools for Time. Wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you're working in. Closed on Sundays, allowing the family at Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, see what God does, pay placing in the family of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today Pastor Glenn Davis. Pastor Davis and I have the joy of coming to you each week on the broadcast, talking about issues that I believe are timely. We're talking about today, why Thanksgiving? Pastor Davis, thank you so much for being with us today. As again, you and I have the privilege of talking about things that are, I believe, important, things that are pertinent to society, and especially this Thanksgiving season. Why Thanksgiving? We'll talk about that in a moment. But welcome today as we continue to discuss things that are important to the Christian family.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. It's always a pleasure, you know, to be with you on Fridays and every day, every time we get together. It doesn't have to be a Friday. Amen. It's just a pleasure to be graced, you know, in your presence, you know, each and every time. Surely, you know, I count you as a man, amen, of God that I've been knowing for quite a number of years now.
Less than 100 years.
Amen. 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 And I just thank God for you and the wisdom that he has poured into you and how you pour into others with a grateful heart. I mean, this man has a great big heart. I mean, I just want to let you all know that. Amen. Filled with so much love and concern for the people of God. And that's the heart. That's the marks of a true shepherd. You know, it's very hard to find those that will lead you in the paths of righteousness as a true shepherd should without being greedy of filthy lucre.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible warns against
embarrass
that.
Me.
Amen. Amen. And it's so great, you know, Dr. Youngblood. So I'm grateful to you on today. I want to say good morning to my bride of 36 years and each and every one of my family that's listening on today. Amen. Thanksgiving Day should not be the only day that we thank God.
Amen.
Amen. For a believer, you ought to be living a lifestyle of Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Daily.
Because when we look at things that happen in our lives, whether good or bad, even if it is bad, Dr. Youngblood, it's not as bad as it always seems.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you take a look right next door, you know, we used to say it's happening very badly for people in other countries. But now you can look next door and find that things are going bad for people right in your own neighborhood.
Yes, yes.
So you ought to be giving God thanks on today.
Absolutely. Pastor Davis, I'm going to quote something that someone said, and I've used it for many, many years. Some have said that we need to have National Naggers Day. Everybody wants to bellyache and gripe and complain and nag, so we have National Naggers Day.
My, my.
Rather than National Thanksgiving Day.
Amen.
Because there's so many that are ungrateful. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, if you're driving, don't dare pick up your Bible and open it. But if you're not driving, if you're where you can open your Bible, Pastor Davis and I are going to open our Bibles to Luke chapter 17. I'm going to ask Pastor Davis to read verses 11 through 19 for our edification and for your understanding of one of the things that we'll talk about in relationship to Thanksgiving. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, is a fantastic study on Thanksgiving. On
Amen.
Thanksgiving. Read that for us, Pastor Davis, and then we'll talk about it.
Amen. And it says here, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole.
Pastor Davis, that's probably one of the greatest texts in all of the Bible about being ungrateful and also being thankful. As we look at that text, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, that telephone number is 831-0917. Any point, jump in with your dialogue and discussion, your questions, your comments about this wonderful, wonderful season of Thanksgiving. But ladies and gentlemen, this particular biblical, if you please, reference, this biblical record shows us there are 10 lepers. The story is found, as I said, in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Here we see 10 men. 10 lepers. And by the way, when you study the text, you understand that leprosy was a deadly disease. In modern era, there are possibilities of curative medications for leprosy. But then the lepers would have to wander in lepers' camps outside of the city, outside of the gate. They'd have to place their hand over their mouth and scream if anyone is approaching, unclean, unclean, unclean.
Amen.
According to Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, we find, ladies and gentlemen, we'll not turn to it, but according to that text, we understand that they were unclean. They were untouchable. They were uncared for. They were undesired. They were not desirable people. They had to leave their homes, their families, everything that they loved, everything that was would embrace them. They were literally having to wander in the outskirts of the city until death. All of these men were facing a death sentence.
Amen.
All 10 of them had no hope outside the Lord Jesus Christ.
And then, Dr. Youngblood, another bad part about that for me, if I could not ever, you know, if I didn't have the privilege to connect up with the family of God and give God praise, that's another thing. They were separated from the believing community. In other words, they were not welcome to come into the worship services.
That's right.
Because they were lepers.
Because they were lepers.
Unclean. So we need to consider that on today. We ought to not let sinful practices separate us from the community of believers in the house of God, because just like the lepers, we can be separated and not be able to fellowship with the community of believers.
And that's what happens with sin.
Amen.
And as you study leprosy, ladies and gentlemen, in the scripture, it is emblematic of sin. It's emblematic of death, a death sentence. And so here's the point, Pastor Davidson, for the benefit of our listeners, all 10 of these men were healed. All 10 were cleansed, but only one, one tenth, just one, came back, fell down on his face before Jesus and said, thank you. Keep in mind, these are lepers. They were all dying. They could not come close to contact with anyone else. They were outcast from society. They were simply helpless and hopeless and unclean, untouchable, and unable to do anything basically for themselves. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ provides new life, new hope, fresh hope for them. And yet out of the 10, only one, the scripture says, comes back and falls down on his face and says, thank you. And by the way, some contend that they have so many problems today. Some contend there's so many issues today. Some contend that, and perhaps you're one of them as you listen, that there are too many problems and too many issues and too many declensions, too many handicaps, too many problems to be thankful. But the Bible mandates, Pastor Davis, for those that might think that, and 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything we're to give thanks unto the Lord.
Amen.
This means that every little thing,
everything,
every big thing, every problem, every time of rejoicing. Perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, you can ponder with us for a moment. And Pastor Davis, I like to ponder this. What are some of the things that you can think of this year, this week, that's been devastating, difficult, that seemingly was harmful? And yet there seems to be an attempt by we, the people, to try to bifurcate and separate the good from the bad, and say we thank God for the good and do not for the bad. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that in everything, the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we're to give thanks unto the Lord. Everything. That means everything, not any single solitary thing to be left out.
Amen.
It's an amazing thing, Pastor, that people today are so caught up in things, in having goods and services and comforts, that somehow, some way, there's the mindset that there needs to be more and more and more. This text in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 literally says every little thing, every big thing, every good thing, every bad thing, whether there's little or much, we are still to recognize that all comes from God.
Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, I'm glad you said that, because that puts a perfect, you know, let's say you put a perfect cap on that situation, which you just got finished saying. Because sometimes I look at believers and I have to wonder, where are their mindset? Because a lot of people think that the only time they can give God thanks is when they're getting a check in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
Or some other thing that they deem as so good, to where they think they are blessed above other people.
That's right.
But if we're not careful, things can separate us from God.
Yes.
Instead of drawing us closer to God.
Yes.
So therefore, we have to prioritize things in our lives, mm-hmm, to make sure that we don't let material things cause us not to give God his proper thanks.
Yes.
Because the number one thing we ought to thank God for every day, Dr. Youngblood, if we're waking up.
That's right.
Every if he wakes
breath,
us up,
every
amen.
Breath, every heartbeat should be a day of thanksgiving.
Amen.
Pastor, when we think about that and the giving thanks for everything, and the 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Amen.
It's God's will in our lives that we say thank you to him. And my thoughts go back to the first Thanksgiving. We'll read a little brief article. It says, what should be the focus of Christians on Thanksgiving? This article reads, the original Thanksgiving celebration was held by the Pilgrim settlers in Massachusetts during their second winter in America, December 1621. The first winter, listen, Pastor, this is so staggering to embrace. The first winter had killed 44 of the original 102 colonists. At one point, their daily food ration was down to 5 kernels of corn apiece.
Wow.
But then an unexpected trade vessel arrived, swapping them beaver pelts for grain, providing them with that severe need that they had. The next summer's crop brought hope. Governor William Bradford, he was the governor of the colonies, decreed that September the 13th, 1621, be set aside as a day of feasting and prayer to show the gratitude of the colonists that they were still alive. From that time forward, this writer says, Thanksgiving has been celebrated as a day to give thanks to God for his gracious and sufficient provision. President Abraham Lincoln officially set aside the last Thursday of November in 1863 as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father. In 1941, Congress ruled that after 1941, the fourth Thursday of November would be observed as Thanksgiving Day as a legal holiday in America. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that we have the privilege to each and every day say thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for meeting the need. Ladies and gentlemen, Thanksgiving is not just a holiday. It's not just a Christian holiday. It is a time set aside to reflect back on what those coming into America and settlers in America and the first colonies, the harsh winter that they had gone through, the number of deaths that they had faced, the number of issues that had taken place that most of us, Pastor, even today, would not be willing to say thank you. We must celebrate Thanksgiving, ladies and gentlemen. Thanksgiving is not just a day to indulge. Thanksgiving is not just a day of food, although we have grown into thinking that. Thanksgiving is not just a day of looking forward to what they've termed now as Black Fridays, where you can go in and, Pastor, I'm always amazed at these Black Friday sales where they have people, in fact, just a couple of years ago in a Walmart store someplace in America, some people were trampled to death by people out of greed, trying to get the television sets for a free gift or a $49, $79, $99 deal. That seems to be the mindset of many today when we talk about Thanksgiving. And we need to recognize what Thanksgiving really is.
And then, Dr. Youngblood, there are many believers involved in that now. They're more committed to that day than they are coming to the house of God.
Yes, yes.
Because they can be at Walmart 5 a.m., 4 a.m., waiting for that one television set.
Not worry about how cold it is or whether it's raining.
Amen. That's going to be $99 for 1 hour, and 50 of you have assembled together there, and there's not but one TV set, and only one person's going to get it.
That's right.
But yet, these people, believers, and it's a shame to say this, they will sacrifice that particular day to get there at 5 a.m., yet they won't commit that kind of time to come out to the house of God.
Amen.
And it's a shame to say so.
I think about that now with the football season in, and I watched a newsreel. It was not the game, but it was a replay of some of the things. And it was someplace up in upstate New York where they were playing football, and the field was covered with snow. You couldn't see the lines. You couldn't see the markings, but they're all out there fighting for that football.
Amen.
And the stands, though sparse, the stands still have multitudes of people. And I commented then, if that were church service, even with the wonder of what we have in church buildings today, with heating and air conditioning and the comfort of the pews, people are unwilling to go in the cold and oftentimes difficult weather outside to be able to come inside the house of God to say thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. I especially thought that that would change, Dr. Youngblood, after the lockout.
Yeah.
That's what I call it. During the pandemic, when they locked us out of churches and said, you can't assemble together.
Yep.
You can't sing aloud. Put your hand over your mouth. You can't even sing in the sanctuary. I mean, they put their stipulations in place, and we had believers abiding by that. Yet when the doors were reopened to where they could freely come, they rather sit home and what they call it, online church.
Yeah.
And now don't get me wrong, if that's your only way that you could do it because you are you have a medical condition or whatever it takes, listen, we're not knocking that. But Hebrews 10:25 says what it says for a reason.
That
forsake not to assemble yourselves together as the manner of some is.
That's right.
Your testimony or your song could give me encouragement as well as just me being able to see your face and telling you good morning.
That's right. One of the things, Pastor, then I'm touching on you saying that, we find, and I'm adamantly opposed to online worship, unless, as you said, it's a shut-in, one that physically is unable to go to church. That is a secondary resource. But first and foremost, they need to be, we need to be in the house of God.
Amen.
And every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving. That is giving thanks to the Lord.
Amen.
Pastor, I want to look at two or three things that I believe would be perhaps helpful to our listeners today. First of all, when we think about thanksgiving, it's commanded. It's commanded.
Amen.
In Colossians 3:15, and if you would take a moment and read that for us, Pastor, Colossians 3:15, we want us to understand that first of all, for the Christian, thanksgiving is commanded. It is a wonderful text, just a single verse that sets forth the command to be thankful. Read that for our listeners.
Amen. Says here, Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful.
And that word led in the Greek text, Pastor, is in the continuing voice, means keep on letting the peace of God dwell in your heart. And be ye thankful. In the Greek text, that's in the imperative voice. We'd call that a command today.
Amen.
Jesus commands, we're truly thankful. It is commanded. I am thankful. What am I thankful for? What should we be thankful for? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful for the freedom that we have in America today. I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, that we are the freest nation on the face of God's green earth. I'm thankful today for our flag. In fact, I've said so many times, as I drive down the highways and byways and see the beautiful old glory, the U.S. flag flowing, I am made to rejoice in my heart that that flag is a symbol of our liberty.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful for our freedom today. And even though we're watching it eviscerated, even though we're seeing it being denigrated, even though we're watching it, our liberties being tightened up and some totally wiped out, I am thankful for our freedom, thankful for our flag. I'm thankful for our families and friends. I'm thankful that we can come together, as Pastor David said just a moment ago, where we're challenged, encouraged, and commanded to gather together in mutual worship. I'm thankful that we can come together and love each other, can encourage each other, care for each other as family and friends, as Christian family and Christian friends. I'm thankful, Pastor, for our founding fathers that paved the way and provided for us through our founding documents what we have today.
Amen.
Folks, ladies and gentlemen, listen. I believe that there's soon coming a day when we as families, when family members will have to look back and teaching sons and daughters what America used to be like, the freedoms that we formerly had, the Constitution that at one time we had and adhered to. We're watching that being eviscerated today, and yet we are failing to be thankful for what we have in our founding fathers, with our founding documents, with our friends and family members, the privilege to worship him and honor him, and the flag that represents that, and the freedoms that we have. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a mouthful, but we're commanded to be thankful. And I believe there are things that we could sit back and talk about all day about the things that right now we ought to be thankful for. Ladies and gentlemen, are you thankful? Why celebrate Thanksgiving? What is Thanksgiving for? We'd love to hear from you. We're going to take a break for about 1 minute, top of the hour news. Right after the break, we'll come back as we continue to talk about why Thanksgiving.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.